This week in church, live and in person, we're going to be having a gospel sing, a hymn sing with Craig and Janie Zodi. So, but I always want to bring a message for those of you who listen online. But you have time, if you would like, to come to the church and participate in the hymn sing. You'll love it. You'll enjoy it. Well, you know, this is the week after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that He's alive. And what I entitled my message this week was, No Lock on Your Heart. You know, we all have a tendency to put a lock on our heart. We don't want nobody in there. No lock on your heart will keep Jesus out. That's what I want to talk about today. Because, you know, love begins with emotional connection. And if you want to be loved and be loved, you must release the lock on your heart. I've been thinking about a combination lock and how that can be used. Because we don't want a lock on our heart. But we do know the combination, don't we? These locks can be powerful. They're little locks, and we can use them for all kinds of things to keep curious toddlers out of cabinets and different things like that. But the time that I wanted to share with you reminds me about something that maybe happened to Tim the Tool Man Taylor. You remember him? It was a program back in the, oh my gosh, I'm dating myself, the 90s. And we laugh out loud at his tool-related mishaps, and his absent-minded antics made us shake our heads and smile. But in real life, it didn't feel so funny, did it? But I want to tell you what happened to me, and you got to laugh at yourself sometimes, as hard as it is. When we bought this property that we are here now, right before we retired from the Waukena Church, and the property had a gate, but it didn't have an automatic gate like we have now. And it was like 2 or 3 years before we would come up here to live, because we bought the places in bad shape and it needed a lot of work. So what I did is I took a chain and I put it on the gate, and then I would put a combination lock on it, so that when I came up here, I didn't have to fool with keys. I could come anytime, and just, except one day, I come up and I wanted to get in, and I stood there and I did the little knobs and I did all this, and it wouldn't open. It wouldn't open. I tried again and I tried again and it wouldn't open. All of a sudden, my brain was, I could not remember that combination. And I knew it. I knew it like I knew my own name, except this day, it wouldn't work. And then the Lord quickened in my spirit. Ralphie, in your wallet, there's a little tab that came with that combination lock that gives you the combination. You know, you put it in your wallet in case you forgot it. And there it is. And I got it out, and voila, it worked. The lock opened, and I was able to get in. Yeah, well, combination locks are good, right? And all these different things, as long as you know the combination. But a lock's not much good for anything if you just stay locked. You know, you got to be able to open it so that you can get into the place. Well, that's what I wanted to talk about today. Is I read the scripture in John 20 when Jesus appeared that evening after his still unbelievable resurrection, appeared in the room where the men were sitting. And it was sort of like, they were like in a wake, if you would, a time of memorial. And they must have been pretty surprised when the Apostle John wrote the gospel today, tells us specifically that the doors were locked. But we wonder, why were they locked? Well, they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. The chief priests, the Pharisees, among others, had after all just murdered their rabbi, their leader, their Messiah, their life's mission, a mission that they had spent 3 years developing, and not knowing what to do next, they simply carried out the Jewish tradition of mourning and locking themselves in this room. But John also tells us that when that evening of the same day in which the women, Peter, John, had peered into an empty tomb at first light of dawn, were unconvinced and certain that somebody had carried the body away, Peter and John return to the upper room and have resumed their prayers of grief and mourning. Now, voila, Jesus stood before them, having somehow entered among them. Entered among them in this locked room, and there he was. And now he offers peace, shalom. Release from their heart's lock in fear, respite from their grief, and the proof of his resurrection, confirmation of his message and who he is, and along with this confirmation, he offers the life-giving, liberating, restoring breath of God, the blessing of a new beginning. Even if they did not know yet what they would do or how they would proceed. And then I love this, a week later, Thomas, who had not been with the others at the time, had an opportunity to join them and the others at the end of the week of mourning. Again, the doors were shut and locked, and once again, voila, Jesus appeared with them, offering them peace and faith, calm and released. Now, it would take more than just this meeting before the disciples would be fully ready, but after this encounter, they began to emerge from their locked place of disillusionment, desolation, disenfranchisement, and mourning, and carrying on their lives, eventually continuing on with the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. With his message and his peace, his breath and his commissioning, Jesus freed their heart to emerge from the place of grief and begin to open their lives into new possibilities. Jesus does that still today. He lives in our darkest time of grief, in our hardest times of difficulty, and in the midst of our worst and most formidable struggles, when our option feels like closed off and our hearts feel locked down. Jesus appears to us still and to still our fears and sets us free. Now, it's easy when things don't go our way to lock up your heart and throw away the combination, to close ourselves off from others, to give up hope of what we can do and all that we can become. But I love the buts and the ifs. Jesus knows our potential. He knows who we are and what we can do. For this he has chosen us. Jesus called each and every one of us according to our own gifts. You know, we all have gifts and we all have different gifts. We all have different personalities. He wants to reassure us that nothing needs to stop us from becoming all that we can be. That's what's unique about making up the body of Christ. We're all different, but all the same. And not even our greatest fears. For Jesus is the great releaser of fear, and he redeems our hearts. And no matter where you try to hide, he can find you. No matter how far that you think that you can run from him. I love what Wesley said. He is like the hound of heaven, the Holy Spirit, that is, always wooing us into that love relationship. Because when Jesus went back to be with the Father, he sent one greater than him, the Holy Spirit. But no matter how angry you have been at God or how often you tried to shut God out of your life, God will persist in offering you peace and a multitude of chances to start again. No matter how much you doubt, Jesus will come to reassure you, no matter what it takes, and will lead you back into the fold. No locks, no barriers can keep Jesus from you. No amount of shutting him out can prevent him from seeing the farthest reaches into your heart. No lock is too stubborn for Jesus to bypass. He knows the combination. He created us. Nothing can keep him from freeing you from the walls that kept you encased. You know that combination lock I told you about? Well, sometimes you just got to cut it off. I was blessed that the Holy Spirit reminded me I had the combination in my wallet. But sometimes when you got something like that, you know, you can get a locksmith or you can get bolt cutters and you can cut it off. That's what Jesus can do for you. When all seems hopeless and you don't know what to do next, When you close yourself off or lock yourself in, Jesus will appear to release you and offer you a new beginning. Free from fear, free from mourning, free to live your life in peace. You know, the peace that passes all understanding. Because with Jesus always comes peace, life, and a new beginning. It is such a wonderful thing when you invite Jesus into your heart. You don't get Him in peace as you get Him God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you can have a life, you can have a new beginning. So our joy today is, and I challenge you, breathe, people of God. Breathe in the life-giving breath of God. Because in Him, you are released. Well, hope and pray you're having a wonderful day. In Jesus' name.